We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas. And with me today, on the bottom of the screen, you have our 2K coach, Frankie.
COVID coming back with a vengeance.
COVID Kelly. We've made too many jokes in this podcast at the expense of players. On the left of the screen, right next to me, the wonderful, the talented Siobhan. Welcome. Your maiden voyage on Heat Beat. You might hear her voice on the Miami Heat Beat pregame show. Or a hangover time postgame show. This is her maiden voyage on the pod. Welcome.
What's up, G? Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
First of many appearances, I hope. And we have this esteemed panel to talk about the shit show that is the NBA and COVID, specifically Miami Heat. Now, Siobhan, game was canceled on Sunday. The Heat apparently could not field enough players. It was kind of weird, right? Because the Celtics were the ones that had that. It was like questionable. It's like, well, how many can the Celtics man? You know, they have all these COVID cases, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Robert Williams, all this stuff. And then the report came that it's the Heat that don't have the eight players. And you have kind of Goran, which makes it, I have something to say about that, but you have Goran with the knee soreness. You had Myers with the shoulder sprain. You had like Gabe Vincent and like some, I don't know how he got sore. Right. So you have like these, this collection of knickknack injuries. And then you have Avery Bradley plus some others in a COVID protocol. And it comes out today that Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, Goran Dragic, Mo Harkless, Udonis Haslem, Kendrick Nunn, and KZ Akpala are all in the safety health protocols. That leaves us with Myers Leonard and his questionably strained shoulder. We have Gabe Vincent and some sort of knee injury. We have Olynyk with some sort of groin contusion. And we have our very own Max Strus. Siobhan, I don't understand what the fuck the league is doing. Is it fair for me to say that there is an outbreak?
No, there's an outbreak. There's definitely an outbreak. There's an East Coast outbreak.
Only Eastern teams. Like,
it's only on the Eastern teams, but it's not surprising. You know, East Coast is the most populated. I don't know, like, what the fuck is going on. We shouldn't be playing. We knew that a bubble for the whole season was untenable. Mental health and all of those types of things went into that. But, like, it's getting bad, man. And it's interesting, like of the last four teams that the Wizards have played, all of the opposing teams have had people come out, but none of them have. They're not being restricted. They're still playing. Like, we need a pause. We need a break. Sit the Wizards down, maybe. I don't know. If we need a collective couple weeks to just let everything recalibrate.
No one's going to miss them playing basketball. No one's going to miss them playing basketball.
Yeah, not who, Miami?
Oh, the Wizards. Like, who the fuck, you know what I mean?
Oh, shit, we might not miss us playing right now, too. I'd be glad for a break, settle, work this shit out. We look bad, but I don't know.
Watch some
the
film.
The league looks bad. Yeah, like we tried, you know, the product's damaged right now. We got guys out all over the place, games postponed. It's okay, take a break, pick it back up, or it's just gonna keep going. Everyone's a close contact of a close contact.
Like, yo, I made the joke last time, like the NBA is like, as a league, is gonna have herd immunity before society is. Like, they're just all gonna, like, Bam might have it twice and none. Poor guys.
Yeah.
So it's kind strange. Of to your point before about the Wizards, January 3rd, Wizards play Nets. January 5th, KD has to quarantine. January 6th, Wizards play 76ers. January 7th, multiple Sixers quarantine. January 8th, Wizards play Celtics. January 9th, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have to quarantine. And then obviously the Wizards play the Heat. And then, and that's by Justin Russo at FlyByKite on Twitter. Covers the Clippers, does a great job. I don't want to blame it on specifically the Wizards, because it doesn't make sense that they would play and then the positive test turnaround the next day. And Al said this last show, like, if we're tracking like where they got the positive test, it's honestly a useless exercise that doesn't help anybody. I mean, the reality of the league, Frankie, is the reality of the league. And this is what the players and the executives and everyone signed up for. I think that it makes me uncomfortable to read that they expected postponements. Right, they planned for it and they say we expected it, which is just like, it's just a weird thing to say. It's like, yeah, we expect people to get this death-eating virus, but we're good. We're good. And by the way, we're welcoming in right now our Heat Twitter president, Alf, live from his car. Alf is doing the Izzy Gutierrez, coming live from his car. Alf, talking about whatever the fuck the league is doing right now, you know, it's not working. And Siobhan made the point of, They need some sort of shutdown. We reported yesterday that the league was going to kind of meet with executives, and that meeting, as Woj reported, will be tomorrow. Alf, if they're not shutting the league down, I don't really know what the fuck their priorities are other than the bag.
That is their only priority. They're not shutting the league down. They're not going to even take I don't even see them taking a small break. They're just going to keep postponing games. They're going to do what the Major League Baseball did, I think, and they're just going to try to power through it. Like, it goes to show what it's all about money. Can you even see me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm like...
No, yeah. Oh, stream okay. Can see you. Stream can see you.
All right. Yeah, it's just... this is what it's all about. It's all about money. Ethan actually tweeted something out today, and I agreed with it. This is the season that's going to get the asterisk, right?
No, I don't think so. Alf, by playoff time, they're going to be in a bubble. I'd like, unless we're fully vaccinated as a society, I just think that they're either going to play without fans or in a bubble. And at that point,
do you take these regular season records seriously?
Well, we never take regular season records seriously. Who the fuck cares? He were a fifth seed and made the finals.
I'm talking about, there's going to be teams that legit, like, I mean, lose like dozens of games because they have, like, you know, like, look at the Heat. They have no chance of winning on Tuesday night.
Well,
I mean, Max Strus is going to be your starting shooting guard. Like,
that's what we've been clamoring for.
I'm a fan of the Strus of losing.
Excited.
I mean, I'm a fan of the Strus of losing.
Who's we?
I mean, hold on, wait. To your point, Frankie, like, Alf saying this, but I mean, if the Orlando Magic lose 12 games because of COVID, it's not like they were winning the championship. If the Heat drop 12 games and are a 7 seed or whatever, it's not. I don't know how much that's going to affect their because everyone's going to miss games. Alf, I think it's clear that no team is going to go through this season without some sort of 2-week period where your whole fucking team's out. So I kind of get the idea behind it, but I kind of feel like we're going to look at it the same as last season. This shit's going to be weird. This regular season largely is about survivability. It doesn't matter. Just everyone's going to get to the playoffs. They're going to have some sort of bubble. They're going to do something to keep people safe because the integrity of your playoffs matters. Nobody cares about the regular season games while the NFL playoffs are happening. Nobody ever watched these games. This is just us. This is just Heat fans and us. Like, nobody gives a shit about Kings Warriors on a Tuesday. Just us. Right, Frankie? Like, I don't really see. I get the point, and I agree to an extent. I just think that the regular season, largely, nobody ever cares about. And I think by the playoffs, they're going to get it right.
But you also have to take into account that, that this is a season where they're introducing the play-in tournament, right? The season matters now. And, you say, I think they're probably going to look into a bubble too. But you look into it, the season just started. There's teams that haven't played. Most teams haven't played 15 games, and if it's going towards a shutdown, or guys have to shut down 2 weeks, I think there's a chance for injuries to come right after it, because a lot of these guys aren't in game shape yet. They're not shortened preseason, shortened training camp, shortened off season. I think that there's a real good chance that there could be a higher risk of injury, because of COVID.
That's why you see guys wrestling on back-to-backs, right? Siobhan, Westbrook wrestling back-to-back, all these guys, Draymond wrestling back, these guys, vets are wrestling on back-to-back. So I think that's a valid concern, but
Draymond's resting for, he's been,
he's old. They got to protect him. He's expensive. Yeah. That's an expensive guy. But I kind of see Alps point, Siobhan. I kind of want your thoughts on that. But whoever's in the play-in tournament, if they're fucking cheated out of a couple wins, at the end of the day, I don't care if the Memphis Grizzlies got screwed out of a play-in spot. Whatever. Fine. Sorry.
I don't know. I think a little bit more stock has to be put into the regular season. Like Frankie said, we are introducing a play-in this year. And just for if nothing else, continuity, right? We have people in and out of lineups. I mean, we're used to kind of, some janky lineups, but you have to figure it out. And I think it needs to be figured out before playoffs, or your playoff product will be some poo, because you have teams, with records that they shouldn't have, seating that is terrible. We're not going to have fans again. So that home advantage part of the thing does or doesn't matter, but I think there is something to be said for looking to get it right before then. If the NBA is touted as the league that gets it right the most,
the woke league,
or the more woke of the leagues, and okay, cool. You got the bubble right. We did that. And, I get it. We got to protect the bag, protect revenue and income and all that stuff. But I almost want to say, let's not get greedy here. Try for the season. We are trying. I don't know. I think they have come up with, they have to do something. There needs to be a pause. F for nothing else, the integrity of the product. No one wants to see Max Strus and whoever else we're trotting out there.
Only against Alf and I do.
Y'all can have that. And then
if you were storming the Capitol, you probably would.
No.
No, hey,
but MAGA lineup.
Schmeathan Schmolnick in the chat says he disagrees with you, Gianni. He goes, he's a degenerate gambler. He stands for Kings Warriors money line.
That, I was laughing at the idea of the league finding Philadelphia for fake resting Ben Simmons to try to get out of the game. And I'm like, they fined him specifically because that fucked up a money line. That just totally fucked 100%. Up. Yeah, it's totally, we got to protect their gamblers. Tiff, our Tiffany resident hater, you can hear her on Hangover Time and on the Heapy pregame show. She says teams are going to fall too far back in the standings. Troppy Baby, aka Alex Toledo, says the woke league selling off for their guys' health and money. Listen, that's we've been knowing that. That's how they operate. For me,
there's a lot of things that need repair. A lot of the product needs repair, the image needs repair, because we look like the rest of the money grubbing leagues. And I don't know. I agree with Tiff. I think you're gonna see important teams and teams that shouldn't be where they are end up further down the standings than they should be. COVID injuries, continuity, just all of those things combined.
I think you're a little bit off. I think it's not just going to affect the 7th, 8th, and 9th seed. I think you're literally going to see some of these teams that are title contenders, maybe on the fringe, like the Heat were last year. The Heat were a 3rd, 4th, 5th seed, a title contending fringe team. And this season, if they go on a 10-game losing streak, or even a 5-6-game losing streak because they don't have Jimmy Bam, Borja, they're missing all their guys. It could literally drop them out of the playoffs this year. I don't think it's... Yeah.
But that's going to happen to other people, too. That's my thing. It's like... And, like, I think that that's... I think
it's... It's not like it all balances out. You could just you could have a team like this, a total fraud ass team as a 2 or 3 seed. It's gonna be a.
I don't think it's gonna get to that. I really don't.
Why not? Why
not? If
the Lakers, there's no predictability.
If the Lakers lose LeBron and AD for 2 weeks.
And that's like that's 7 games, right? You know,
that's a lot of games.
Going to move into the and that maybe they do it twice in a year because of contact tracing. Like it could completely like throw off.
Okay, that I'll give you if it happens multiple times. If you get unlucky, yeah, I do that. And
it's not going to be. It's not luck. It's going to happen.
No, you're right.
It's contagious.
You're right. It just seems it seems untenable for them. It seems like they can't. This is not like the NFL, like Alf, like you said, where they have a whole week in between and there's a 50-man fucking roster.
Which is why they have to take the time. They have to create the time. This currently is more untenable than the idea that it's going to stop or any of that type of thing. It's only going to get worse. It's just going to keep going.
And they didn't even plan ahead. We got back-to-backs early on in the season where you're traveling to multiple cities, playing multiple teams. So, in a week span, you're playing, you're connected all around with like 12 teams. How are you going to prevent that if you're not going steps ahead and try? Like I thought they had great idea early on talking about like we'll have a team stay in a city, play their 2-season series in that week, and be done with them. And you're not going to see Heat Bucks in later on in the season, maybe until playoffs. I thought that was the most tenable way to do it. Instead, you got the Heat get 3 days off, then they have a back-to-back, Boston and Washington, then they get a day off to travel, and then they play Philadelphia, who's just played a back-to-back against 2 other teams. How are you going to prevent COVID spreading like that?
You can't.
Domino effect. Complete domino effect. And even baseball, that was a shit show. Like Frankie's saying, they were in the same city for 3-4 days. Yeah. At least they had 25 man rosters and, you know, socially distant by design sport outdoors.
Yep.
The NBA has none of those advantages.
The perfect socially distant team sport.
It really is. Yeah. Hey everybody, before we get into today's pod, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here on Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you wanted to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and e-learning course filled with tips and tricks. On top of that, we'll get you show published to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and other listening platforms. And the best part is that you can get this all for $15 a month. That's the same rate that any other hosting site would just charge you for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to your sports experience. Acceptance to the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for this episode to find out more. That's bwhustle.com/join. I think the and you know, Siobhan, part of this could also be, you know, there's a Christmas spike and guys went to their families for the holidays and this would line up pretty well with that, and this could be a result of, you know, dudes, you know, getting it from, you know, Theo Pepin or whatever, right? Or Uncle Luke or whoever the hell your relative is.
Uncle Luke.
Hey. I was like Uncle something. Hey. I went Theo Pepin and I didn't want to isolate the non-Hispanic portion of the audience, so I just went Uncle, and I don't know why I thought Luke. I went to Luke. Was that bad?
You know, Uncle Luke is great. You get a lot from Uncle Luke.
Great legend, Miami legend.
So I agree, and I think that highlights the point. Like, okay, why wasn't this something that was thought of? Right, like why wasn't there like a little built-in? Maybe at the crux of the new year, there should have been something in place, understanding that guys may travel, guys may do this and that. I don't know. I just think that it was, I don't know, just being kind of like naive or just not giving it the due that is due or the credit that is due. And maybe it is just the Christmas holiday spike, but that one spike still being spread makes more spikes. So,
and they also knew Christmas was coming.
They pushed.
It just doesn't feel like there was a lot of thought behind this.
They literally started the season.
They specifically wanted to start for Christmas.
Yeah,
maybe everybody should have played on Christmas so nobody got a holiday.
Like, the fact that they didn't go to 20-man rosters, like that's a part I will never understand.
That part's ridiculous, like, but I think I understand that too, because, like, you know, at the end of the day, if the Heat have all their fucking team out and now you're playing the same guys that we just mentioned plus 7 G Leaguers, like, I don't know how that makes it much better. I think that the postponement of games is probably, and I agree that they should have an expanded roster to limit this, but this is,
but at least
Tiff makes a good point in the chat. She's like, y'all know the New Year spike hasn't hit yet.
It hasn't hit yet. Yeah. Right. So that's another week from now. So we're looking at the same, it's cyclical until there's a hard stop. It's going to keep being a cycle.
They don't have much recourse. They don't seem interested in a stoppage. I imagine that coaching staffs are fed up. I don't know. And it's hard to say with the players. Right.
What did Chris put out something yesterday that, like, teams are asking for a pause. There's supposed to be a board of governors meeting tomorrow.
Yep. Chris scooped Woj. How about that? Our own Christian Hernandez scooping Woj. And then some NBA executive came out and kind of said, oh, you know, we're going ahead. This is all going as planned. We're fine. There's no problem here. And I texted Chris and I was like, yo, Chris, you want to, like, double check? I know that, you know, we're a journalistic property here. Brian and I went to journalism school. You know, we know what we're doing. But I was like, Chris, you want to double check? And Chris was like, nah, I stand by what we're saying. And I was like, okay, me too. And he was right. So how about that? Scooping Woj out here on Miami Heat beat. They don't have much recourse, Alf. They don't have much recourse. They don't have much of a choice. They're probably going to have to tough this out. I know that they're going to meet with the Board of Governors, and what's probably going to come out of it is they're going to, like you suggested, expanded roster, some sort of cap flexibility if a guy gets hurt, because this, as Frankie kind of alluded to, there's a lot of injuries, and they're going to just kind of hope that this just a holiday spike and that this will go away.
I mean, isn't that what baseball did, basically? Like, you had teams full of, like, Meager and all kinds of just crap. Like, that's what's going to happen. Like, Beasley is going to be starting for the Heat this year. Like,
oh, don't tempt me. Don't tempt me.
Gianni's going to spread COVID just for that.
Palmers, let me tell
you. Bees in Rio.
Let's go. Look. Yep. I mean, let's be honest with you. We are very close to a Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, Andre Iguodala, Kelly Olynyk, and Myers Leonard starting lineup. We're close. Fire. We're close. Yeah. That's a lot of shooting. that's a spaced floor with Strus coming off your bench. Watch out, Philly. I don't know how Embiid can guard that. That's a lot of movement. That's a lot of. They're gonna play. Listen, how much Alf Siobhan? How much zone are they going to play with those guys out there?
It's going to be all right, guys. It's going to be every variant.
I'm just letting you know I'm out. I'm at my destination. I just want to let you guys know that even with this happening, KZ still won't get minutes.
Well, he has COVID. He's in the protocol, so.
It doesn't matter. But even if he was the only guy on the roster, they just forfeit.
you look like Alf. You look like Rick Ross in a Maybach.
This is definitely not the Maybach. I'm budget Rick Ross in an Altima is what I am.
Neither beer. Right, take care, bro. Check out Alf on Hangover Time, the host of our post game show. It's great. It's honestly as good a post game show as there is anywhere. So as much as we love Sun Sports, shut that shit off and come to twitch.tv/MIAHeepie and put that up, because Siobhan, Alf, Frankie.
Light skinned opinions.
Got to play light skinned opinions. And that's light skinned opinions. We're going to do some streaming of light skinned opinions here on our Twitch page. So check that out. They're going to do like an LSO Sports So we're going to get the LSO guys, you know, Alf, Maddox, Paris, their kind of takes on sports and sports culture through their perspective. And it's going to be really fun. We're excited for that. And check, follow their YouTube page, the LSO podcast. We will provide a link. We'll tweet it out. We've been tweeting it out regularly. Follow them, support what they're doing. Support us here on Twitch, either by subbing or by following or whatever. We greatly appreciate it. Thing I kind of want to talk about is, you know, kind of removed from the COVID impact of the league is the Heat were finally, it felt like at least offensively, Frankie, getting their footing, right? Like, I know that the Wizards played dog shit defense, but at least you see Jimmy attacking the rim. You see that they kind of stumbled into something with Jimmy at the four plus shooters. And now they're not going to be able to play. And I don't, and Jimmy's a guy who's older, who kind of took him a little bit to get his sea legs. You know, Goran, I think you trust him to be ready, but, you know, you kind of have these guys with an on-off layoff. It's really tough.
Yeah, I mean, we saw a little bit of Jimmy surrounded by shooters in the finals when Bam and Goran went down and they had to start Myers and Kelly and you know, really spread them out and let Jimmy go to work. And that's obviously a formula for success, as Jimmy had some of the best finals performances in Heat history. Yes, better than LeBron.
LeBron had good finals performances? I never...
Oh, he had 37 in the game 7 closeout. Come on, man.
I mean, were the Spurs really, but the Spurs were giving him that midi.
Ah,
he just kind of came off that threes, pick bro. And pull. Yeah.
Anyway, come
baddie.
On. Man.
Hold on, wait a second. That's the Battier game. Why are you giving LeBron the credit?
No, it is the Battier game, but LeBron also hit the dagger too.
And Dwayne scored 23. That. Dwayne had a low key bad series, and then he pulled out that jack.
Let's go, Tyke.
Tyke has joined the chat. Tyke has joined the stream.
No, but I mean, Jimmy, we talked about Jimmy, that Jimmy's just kind of he's always been a little bit injury prone. He's always played like 60, 70 games a season. And we were expecting that. And he missed a couple of the games to start. I expect him to play around 50 games, depending on how many games we miss in total. But you know, you want to see him get in rhythm. He was finally playing well. He's finally looking comfortable. He was playing a little passive as well. I don't know if that was injury or just him. But I like this as an opportunity for the young guys, the guys who aren't getting minutes, for Gabe Vincent to you know, play off that performance he had.
Are you trying to spin this into a positive?
Hey man, we gotta do it. We gotta get viewers
what?
In here.
Siobhan, what kind of propaganda is that?
Heat you beat. Got to. You got
oh, that's coach speak. Whoa, that was amazing. I mean,
you have to find what the silver lining in the COVID cloud, right? I mean, I'm not reading all the health and safety protocol, but if they're in quarantine or wherever it is, again, like you said, we're starting to get some rhythm, some flow. Not only are these guys not playing, won't be able to practice. So that just continues to deepen it just highlights more that it'll be harder to get some chemistry, to maintain some chemistry, and then to take that chemistry forward. We have guys in and out. We already said Jimmy is good for 50, 60 games. And then again, you're throwing in COVID, you're throwing in all this stuff. There has to be, I don't know, it's going to be tough to find any rhythm, any stretch, any continuity, really.
Yeah, Tiff's in the chat saying that he can't afford for this to happen. They have yet to hit a groove. And I think that's kind of the greater point. It's like they haven't looked good. And I think they have times against some bad teams that they've looked okay. That Washington game was the most uninspired win they've had. And the Oklahoma City game, I think really, Siobhan, the only times that I've had confidence in them was the Oklahoma City game that they look really good. And also the Milwaukee game where they beat Milwaukee, and you can at least say, okay, well, they came back from double digits down and they did it. Cause even the Pelicans game, you know, Duncan hit a million threes and it felt like whatever, felt like taking care of business. Yeah. It's concerning.
It is, you know, she's right. We haven't hit a groove. Maybe if this came toward the latter part of the season where we're definitely more interested in resting guys, sitting guys, stuff like that. And we've built a rapport. We still got to get Precious acclimated. We still have to get Avery no-mo-mo. So there's that. it's terrible timing. And because it's still the start of the season, so I guess the flip side of that is, okay, there's enough time to right the ship. But I don't know, you put too many more holes in the ship might not, you know, hold water enough to get it right.
They certainly do not have an airtight vessel. And all this is doing is hurting that.
Frankly. You know what I thought about? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go. Listen, we're heapy. We interrupt each other. You go.
I was thinking about like the off season and how few moves we actually made. And then you look at the Lakers and they retooled their ass off. They brought in names and names that can produce, names that are going to give you something. Dennis, Mark, Montrez, right? They brought in not only more bodies, but more productive bodies. So not only did we not really make, you know, many, many moves, but the moves that we do have don't match up to those types of, you know, our bench isn't productive or is not. I don't know. I just think
they don't have starter quality guys.
We don't have starter quality guys, right? Especially with our starter quality guys being out.
I think when you look at them compared to last season, and you're totally right, the Lakers have guys now that you trust in a playoff rotation. When we were talking on this show last season, like, I think the Heat, after, you know, from 3 to 9, have the better players, right? Because you're just like, how much do we trust KCP and Kuzma and Danny Green, who looked like he can't play anymore, right? Like, you know, all these guys that you have a lot of question marks about. Now you have, you know, suddenly Dennis Schroeder and Montrez, who are just incredible together, and Marc Gasol, right? And these guys that you can really, at least, maybe not trust in the playoffs, but at least Mark and Dennis, you know, you trust in certain matchups and they give you flexibility. You know, the Heat really, I think the only guy that might see playoff minutes is Avery Bradley. And who knows how much, because, you know, Harkless, Harkless doesn't appear to be that guy. And unless, you know, you count their draft acquisition in Precious, it's not looking great.
Right. And that's not even counting losing Jay, too, who is a big part of the team in the bubble. You know, I definitely agree with Siobhan that the depth hasn't gotten stronger than could. Hitting our team this hard with losing our three best players, it's going to be really tough to maintain. You know, you hope that they can string along. I mean, they're playing Philly, who's been hit with COVID themselves. We'll see if Ben Simmons is able to play.
No way that game gets played, man. No way that game gets played.
It's crazy, man. It shouldn't be played. It shouldn't be played. This whole thing should be shut down for a couple weeks. Let us get it together. But I mean, the TV contracts are making that difficult as well.
So kind of to the bench point, the Heat, when Goran Dragic is on the court, they're plus 12 net rating in 188 minutes. And when Goran's off the court, they're minus 12 in 196 minutes. So the starters haven't been good. I think a lot of the bench guys have been fine. And it's really Goran and Precious. And also, when Precious is the lone big out there, they're plus a lot. And it's not even close. And that was kind of my argument with starting KO. And they're playing KO and Precious a lot together, which honestly, I kind of want them to dial that back, because Precious is so good alone. So when Precious is on the court without Bam or KO, so when he's the only center, they're plus 7 in 60 minutes. And Bam and KO and Precious are minus 0.9. So like they're barely breaking even.
Wait, the three of them together?
No, Precious and KO.
Okay.
Yeah, no,
Bam. You added Bam.
Bam,
Precious, and KO.
Bam and Precious have played 1 minute together, and they are minus 150 per 100 possessions. And I don't know how much of this is the Milwaukee game, but in 133, it can't be that many. In 133 minutes, when Bam is the small ball five, they're minus 13 per 100 possessions. Their offense is at 104. So
that's also them playing Mo a lot in that sample. So like, but that's the thing. That's the thing that Siobhan was mentioning about like the problem with the offseason, you know, and you know, we obviously know that a big part of that was them making 2021 free agency plans. So they didn't want to add extra money, but you know, the Lakers were able to add Dennis, Mark, Wes Matthews as well. Yep. And Montrez, and that's four rotation caliber guys. If we would have landed Wes Matthews, we would have been throwing a party. And that's a guy Siobhan forgot. That's saying a lot.
I did forget him. Yeah.
And that's a minimum level player for them. So that's the problem with us not really adding to or able to add to our depth. And now you're seeing it that we're gonna have to play Max Strus so much for this next game.
So Bam without Harkless. They're plus 5 per 100 in 200 minutes. Bam with Harkless, they're minus 37 in 40 minutes.
Yeah.
So I think we should have the qualifier of any time that they play anybody that has bad on off data. We have to filter it without Mo Harkless.
Yeah. It's like the difference between the Raptors and Toronto and Tampa.
But I will say this, when Bam is the small ball center, I'm not even going to give that the time of day. When Bam is the small ball center without Harkless and without Olynyk, so that he's truly the small ball center and without Harkless, they're getting outscored. They're minus 2 in 99 minutes. So a lot better, but still those lineups have not given them the fruit that they need. I think part of that is they don't have a four that they trust in the small ball lineups. I think Jimmy might be the guy. But again, you don't want to run that in. That might be the playoff card. Again, I'm not a fan of that. I think he's too small for long stretches, but it kind of is what it is.
I think it's matchup dependent, though.
I think against the Celtics, they can get away with it. I think against the Bucks, I can't. I think when they play the Bucks, they're just not. And let's remember that the Bucks right now have the best half-court offense in the league. The Heat, if you're going to downsize against them when they do go big, that's just a problem. And while Giannis is not going to post up Jimmy, I do think that the pressure that Giannis provides that on-ball defender is a lot. It's going to take from Jimmy on the other end, and Jimmy's going to have to make decisions on when to reach, when to not, and that's going to affect the defense. So I'm not...
Why won't Giannis post up Jimmy?
Because Giannis is a bad post-up player.
He is, and that's on his fault. Like, that's...
He's just adverse to it. I mean, that's the criticism. I mean, he doesn't have that, and that's why the Heat were able to switch on him a lot.
Yeah. We're just small. We're small, and we don't have people.
Because, like, the thing with Jay Crowder was, I mean, the solution to that is you post up Jay Crowder. And while Jay is small, you know, Giannis is almost 7 feet tall, right? But he doesn't have that. And you know, that's why Jokic is, batshit crazy, because he can post up and whip the ball around the court. Like, nobody has that.
Shoot.
That's a big thing with the Pacers, by the way, because Domantas Sabonis is a monster in the post, and all that cute switching stuff doesn't work against a guy that'll be like, I'm getting 1.2 points per possession when I get down here. Oh, you want to send the double? Well, I'm one of the best passing big men in the league. That's where that stuff gets a problem. But, I mean, they can guard him with Bam and they'll be fine. So I'm not worried about Sabonis. But just kind of schematically in general, the Jimmy at the four stuff, I think, becomes a problem when there's a guy who can post him up. That becomes like kind of an untenable situation for them.
It also depends, like, if they're adding something. Because, I mean, if I get offensively, like, the hypothetically, the Goran, Tyler, Duncan, Jimmy, Bam lineup will, like, blow teams out of the water with offensively. But defensively, you know, you got to see defensively if that's how that's going to do. I would be curious about it. Goran looked better in the short sample of the playoffs defensively than he did all season, and really since the last couple of years. And Tyler and Duncan, I would say they've both improved a lot.
Positives though, Frankie, like, they're at best a neutral.
Yeah, but are we also taking into account short off season, short rest, and all that? We know some of these numbers are wishy-washy right now. We know they got to even – they're over an extended period of time. We'll see how they go. I'm saying right now, with the way the things are for the Heat, they should be trying shit. They should be trying shit, especially a number that – I mean, not a number, but a lineup that could perform that well hypothetically on offense.
So chat saying, how do you guys feel about the Heat trading for Larry Nance Jr.? That's a guy that's been incredible for Cleveland this season. Legit defensive player of the year candidate. He can switch a little bit. He's a drop big. I don't know about playing him a power forward. I think that if the Heat really want, they want a guy who who's a little quicker and who's a little more reliable on the switching. His three-point shooting is good this season. It's at 40%. He's never been above 35%. He's been about 35% once, which was last season. I don't know how that holds.
Hasn't he been playing a lot of three this season?
He's just not as switchable as I'd like. I think they use him as a drop big, kind of containing that. And by the way, Nikias Duncan, our own Nikias Duncan, pun master and statistician here for Heat Beat, who also works for Basketball News, has a podcast out. It's called The Dunker Spot with Steve Jones Jr. Is it Jr.? Is it Steve Jones Jr.? Just Steve Jones. Whatever. They have a podcast for Basketball News, and it's great. You should check that out. Nikias is a dear friend of ours, and he's moved on to great things. And it's honestly, it's a great show. And if you want to learn about basketball, listen to that, because Nikias and Steve are two of the damn smartest people covering this league. And it's a treat to listen to them talk really, really deep in the X's and O's. Alex is saying that he's their starting small forward. They play small a lot with him at kind of fours or fives. I'm not sure about his switchability, but
no, he's been pretty solid over the past on switching.
Am I just dead wrong here? Stuff.
He's really good defensively.
No, he's great.
Be opposed to it.
He's been incredible.
He's played most of his minutes at the four, but he does start at the three for them. They start that wonky lineup with Love at four and Andre Drummond at the five. Your favorite.
Did you see that offensive possession he had? Siobhan, yeah. Did you see it?
Andre, oh my God, yes.
Guys, just to peel back the curtains a little bit, Gianni has this weird obsession with hating Andre Drummond.
Sucks.
He for no reason. He's for no bad, reason, Siobhan. He just hates him.
Siobhan, he's a not, bad basketball he? Player. He eats rebounds because he's a million feet tall and he's strong. He's not a good basketball player. Like, he's a bad defender. He has some feet. He's like, just literally does not make good decisions. He like has like zero to no ball skills. He's bad. He's just enormous. Like, he's just like not like, if he wasn't 7 feet tall, if he was 6'7", he would not be in the league. He's just well, like,
it doesn't a, matter. It doesn't
but
he, matter. Why?
But he's
because
bad.
He's 7 feet tall.
And Hassan that, Whiteside
that counts for something.
Hassan Whiteside is a better basketball player than Andre Drummond.
Hassan Whiteside is not a better basketball
yes,
player than me.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is. I'm telling you.
If Hassan Whiteside was 6'7", he would not be in the league either. All right, what are we doing here?
No, you see the little Rock the Baby on the fast break that he had? You know, it's just,
oh, my God.
There's something there. There's something deep down.
Siobhan, a couple years ago, Gianni tweeted that take that Andre Drummond is not better than Hassan Whiteside. That thing was the most ratioed tweet of all time.
It was literally over 300 Cambies. The Marcus Camby.
Yeah.
It was literally over 300. We were at a bar. We were watching Sixers Celtics. It was you, me, Alf, Christian, and Nikias. And that I unleashed that take on the world, and I got ratioed so hard.
You got ratioed there. We told you not to tweet it. You're like, I'm going to tweet.
You ratioed me in person. And then I took it to the timeline. And I was getting the blue check marks doing it too. Everybody was doing it. Everyone was getting on it.
And it wasn't just Heat fans. It was fans from everywhere. Pistons fans. They're like, what are you talking about, bro? I don't even like Drummond.
Duncan Smith, one of the great people covering our league, just sent me the Marcus Camby thing. Deadhand 55 in chat says Drummond can pass. That is debatable. Alex Toledo in chat, Troppy Baby, says Nance is signed through 2023 with one of those weird contracts that decrease, similar to Harrison Barnes, who is another guy that I think that would be nice fit on the Heat. You know,
where is he? Is he in Sacramento still? Yeah,
he's in Sac. So those are two guys to look at.
I mean, even if Andre is terrible, like if I just need a big ass rebound grabber, then fits a role. I don't need Andre Drummond to take you to the promised land. Give me 12 boards a game.
I'd rather have Dwight Howard. I'd just rather have Dwight.
Oh, he's more mobile.
Precious better.
I'd rather have Precious. Precious better. Yep. Guys,
I think Precious is gonna be good. We just gotta develop him. Give him time. Precious is gonna be good.
I think within the next 2-3 years when Precious puts on like, because Precious is still pretty light for a big man. He's like 2'5". Looks like he's got to add like 20 more pounds of muscle. He's got if Zoe puts him under his wing, he could look like Zoe.
Well,
he pisses me off. He doesn't jump. Me and Tiffany talk about it all the time. He will not jump. No. Like he doesn't get high off the ground, like but Zeebo? Looks like a crazy athlete. What are you doing?
He's got a crazy vert.
He just reaches. Yeah, but he just reaches for the ball.
Yeah.
And like a 2 inches off.
Yeah. He's a guy that's like, he has an NBA ready body. Like, he doesn't look like he doesn't belong, but you could tell that he doesn't have it filled out yet.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to get bigger. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he's like similar to Hassan in body. Like, he's going to like be really big and muscular, like super broad shoulders, push guys out of the way. And by the way, he's one of the few guys that's not in the COVID protocol. So that's probably going to be the starting center. If they play tomorrow, it's probably going to be him Kelly. And Kelly in the front court. Like, kind
is
of
Joel playing.
I don't know.
I think he was out right now.
Well, I mean, the Sixers are claiming he was hurt, but he also, I think, is really scared of COVID because he was so, I don't know. The situation is weird. Saban, the answer is, I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. Like, nobody knows who's available.
Which is why we need a pause.
Before we go, in case they play tomorrow, there's a chance that they do play tomorrow, although I would advise nothing. Apparently, the Suns are losing by 20 to the Wizards right now. Marco95R says in chat, which is really funny, the Quizzers. And watch, somebody on that Wizard team is going to come away with a positive test because it's a tradition like no other.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball player strikes out when the bases are loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with 2-day shipping. And the whole process is discreet and straightforward. Getting started is simple. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete the online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 to get $15 off your first month. Look, that's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21. Go get started to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
Probable starting lineup: Heat, Hero, probably Andre, KO, Precious. I think that's the and move Duncan. There.
You named four people.
Duncan.
Tyler, okay. Duncan, so, Andre, KO, Precious.
Joel is playing tonight, so we might see him.
Oh, wow, it's going to go badly. A lot of zone. If they play tomorrow, a lot of zone.
They start. All right, let's talk about this. This is my big NBA conspiracy theory. Apparently, there's a guy named Dakota Mathias. That's not a real guy. That is not a real guy.
Matisse Steibel?
No, Dakota Mathias.
Dakota Mathias.
That's not a real name.
No.
I'm looking at it.
It's made up. That's
yes, it is.
That's made up.
That is made up. That guy. Look at that guy. Guys, chat, please take a second.
6'3".
Look at that guy. That guy is the equipment manager. Look at his face. That guy looks like my drug dealer.
So let's go over again what we're kind of looking at in terms of Heat availability. So again, Dragic, Butler, Bradley, Bam, Harkless, Haslam, Nunn, and Okpala all out. That leaves Myers Leonard, one, Gabe Vincent, if he plays, two, Kelly Olynyk, three, Max Strus, four, Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, five, six, Precious Achiuwa, seven. And I think that's it. I don't know how they're going to get. Did I mention Andre? And Andre, eight.
Yeah, Andre.
So that's their eight. As of right now, if Myers Leonard is cleared to play because he has a shoulder strain and that looked bad, if Gabe That's Vincent true. And Kelly Olynyk are cleared to play because Vincent has some sort of sore knee and Olynyk has a groin contusion, and they're probable. Honestly, like at this point, it's like just say that they can't play because like why are you going to do this? But if they all play, it's rough. You have eight guys, you're playing them all, the Strus is loose. That's the Strus game.
It's rough either way. I'm looking, let it be the Precious game. I just let Precious take every shot he wants. I want to see Precious shoot. We said we're trying shit. Let Max shoot.
Love trying shit. Spo loves to try shit.
This is a great tinker game. He has no choice but to tinker. The tinker was done for him.
Eric.
And this is actually funny. I'm looking at the roster again, the guys available. There's only two guys available who can't shoot, and Precious and Iggy. And like,
that's what I said. There's a lot of shooters out there.
We're gonna have some, like, this is the Heat might as well fuck it around and just shoot all threes.
I mean,
we give up 200 points.
I'm Duncan's on my fantasy team. Like, for sure, I'm picking him up because they're gonna that motherfucker's gonna shoot everything. Max Strus and Duncan and Tyler are going to over or under 30 combined threes.
Oh,
over.
I think over. I just think they're just going to let it fly.
I think they're going to sell out on Duncan.
That Duncan's too disciplined. There's nobody to run a handoff with.
Yeah. Oh, God, man, that too. I would love to see like them get a little more creative this game. Let's see. It's not just
with what?
More off-ball stuff with Duncan instead of, you know, focusing so much on the dribble handoffs. You mentioned last time that they're running more dribble handoffs than they did last year.
Somehow.
Yeah. And it's not as effective because it's little more on the scouting report. And I think the lack of Goran in the starting lineup has hurt them with the other threat and option. So might as well just fucking let Tyler and Duncan shoot as much as you want.
I want to specifically say that I think that the decrease in handoff productivity is almost exclusively tied to Tyler and Duncan not shooting 45 and 40%. Mm-hmm. I just think that those guys were shooting an unreasonable amount last season. They were shooting unreasonably well. And Duncan's still a good shooter. I think Duncan's at 41%. So Duncan is still an elite shooter. But I mean, what was he at? 45% last season? You know, the production that they were getting was all-time great shooting off that Bam and Duncan handoff, which is going to, you know, bump your points per possession up. Yeah, he's shooting 39% on eight attempts.
Right, which is why, so try something else. Do something, be creative this game. I don't know. Send Duncan off of some, like, a stagger on the baseline. Just play with stuff. Send him through some
staggers.
Some double staggers along the baseline. Send him through, like, some elevator screens on the wing. Like,
I want him to do that, what you're saying. That Steph Clay elevator, why don't they run it with Tyler and Duncan? Just get weird. What choice do you have?
You start creating. You
can run the elevator. Oh, there's so much to do from that.
You can run some crazy eights with Iguodala handling. You have Tyler and Duncan go the screen for each other and come off double screens. You have so many options. You can be way more creative. And another thing about Tyler, I think Tyler's, you know, I want Tyler to be a three-level scorer, but a lot of these off-the-dribble stuff, a lot of his off-the-dribble attempts, he's got to learn how to turn those pull-ups into threes. He's not taking enough pull-up. I know that's a work in progress, but he needs to take some of those, space the floor a little better.
He's shooting really well on those pull-up twos. Like, he's shooting 50% on those mid-ranges.
But he is taking less threes than he did last year with more minutes.
Siobhan,
and more, I just, more of ball load.
I just want Tyler to get his legs back under him. Yeah. Like, I'm okay with him maybe not stretching the floor as well as he was right now, because I don't think he has his confidence yet, right? He he went through the whole summer hearing his name and trade rumors. He got off to a rough start. And so I think it's in maybe this game. I think, you know, it's important for him to just get confident in himself and get comfortable in himself. And then, yes, work back on, you know, the pull ups off of or pull up from the three, stuff like that. I just want him to. This can be a try shit game for him too. Just let him see the ball go through the rim consistently at three levels. Let him feel like he's able to do the things that he is able to do.
His wizard tryout.
Yeah.
I want to end the show on that joke so bad, but I have a question for Siobhan before we go, and I want to plug our stuff for tomorrow. Siobhan, what do you think Tyler's shooting from three this year?
I have no idea. I'm 20, not even going to take a guess.
29%, 28.6%, 29% on similar volume than last year, 5.3.
That's confidence, man. That's people are tired of hearing about Tyler Hero. People are tired of hearing about Duncan Robinson. They already said we were fluke. They already claim, you know, people go at them a bit more because they're white boys. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. I just think people are, okay, we saw what you did in the bubble when we already don't think that that's real, do that same thing here. And thus far, you know, we haven't really seen that. But again, I think that's some confidence stuff. You said 26?
29%. The other bad thing is, so last year, Tyler was playing 27 minutes a game and he was only putting up 5.4 threes. This season, he's playing 33 minutes a game and only putting up 5.3. Which is also my concern with the free throw shooting, that he's only up one free throw from last season, considering he has a lot more on ball reps. He's playing a lot more minutes. So those kind
but
of.
He's handling the ball more, right? We got to get him off the ball so that he can get to those three, so that he's not trying to set the table and worry about getting everyone else's game. I like Tyler as just put it on the table, go get me a bucket. I'm kind of
with Nikias on this, though, that you got to have him on ball to see what you have. Because I think the ups, like what you're saying is he's great at that role. And we know he's great at that role.
So but expand his role. Yeah.
That's not an all-star. That's a really good starter. If you want him to be an all-star, he has to find his shot off the dribble. He needs to operate.
It's his second year.
I know, but that's why you got to see what he has. Like, hey, this is a try shit game. Like tinker, try shit, drip drop, pull up. Figure that out. I think the shooting numbers are going to get better and he'll take more, but kind of Alex made the point in the chat, like has to up those attempts. The free throw shooting is actually concerns me because he has a lot more on ball pick and roll reps and he's only getting one more attempt than last year. And in the playoffs, he's about at what he had in the playoffs last season when he was playing a lot of minutes with Jimmy and Goran. So he's the third ball handler. That to me is concerning in a, can you consistently get to the free throw line type thing?
Mm-hmm. No, and I mean, I love how you gave the credit and I first that he needs to shoot more threes.
No, but I'm trying to include Chad. I'm trying to get Chad.
I know, man. I'm just giving you shit. No, but he needs to learn how to get to the free throw line a lot better. He's driving a lot more. He needs to learn how to play against better defenders, which is great why he's starting now. Last year, all his great games coming off the bench, he got to get in rhythm against second team rosters, playoffs or not. He was playing worser guys. So he got to get his rhythm in, take advantage of guys who are bottom of the roster guys, and now he's playing against the best on-ball guy every goddamn night. He wasn't. Drew Holiday was not guarding him last year.
No.
Now he's seeing Drew Holiday. Then he's seeing Marcus Smart. Then he's seeing Lonzo Ball. He's seeing guys who are capable, and he's learning. Yeah. He's gonna get better.
Very true.
I think he needs. It's gonna take time. It's gonna take reps. I'm completely okay with seeing him. You know, mess up. You want to see your guards. You want to see your young guys make their mistakes. By the time the playoffs come around, if the Heat are in a good standing, you want him to be capable of expanding his role and being comfortable at that point. You don't want him to be learning how to get comfortable at that point when an injury happens or anything like that.
I mean, I think he's largely been good. I think the pick and roll ball handling numbers have been good. I think that maybe it doesn't look great, but I think he'll get there. Like you said, it's Siobhan. It's his second year. But this is the time now when guys are going to be out for God knows how long. And if they're going to, God forbid, they get some games in now, This is his time. And honestly, like, Precious is a young cornerstone for them. I mean, build some pick and roll reps with him. I don't know how many minutes they've played together. It doesn't feel like a lot. I'm going to check that right now. But I mean, this, I guess kind of what you said, the silver lining in the COVID smoke, you know, they really gotta find something. So they've played, let me pull this up. They have played exactly 75 minutes together and they're a minus. So more than I thought, but less than they should.
You got to check the Mo filter.
I got to. Oh, let's filter for. We'll filter for Mo. I always write Mo Harkless, not Maurice Harkless when I filter the day. Okay. More Harkless.
Filter him out.
Okay. So Tyler, Precious, no Harkless. Okay. They've not played with him at all. Some of them have played 4 minutes. So it doesn't matter. Okay. Y'all, that's been our show. Really appreciate you for coming. I know it's a weird time in our basketball sphere. Siobhan, thank you for coming on. We kind of have you back again. You are part of the team.
No problem.
We're excited for the season. Tomorrow, there will be a hangover time. If there's a game or no game, Alf has committed to being out here for the people. There will be a hangover time. If the game is canceled, I imagine it'll be around when tip-off would have been. If it's not, then we will do it after the game. And if they do play tomorrow, Jack Alfonso and I will be here for the Heat Beat pregame show, and we'll do a wacky dumbness with y'all to get you prepped for that game. Check out the pod feed. Yo, if you guys can review our pod on Apple, that'd be great, because we don't have a lot of reviews. 5 stars. Laker fans came in here over the finals and they gave us 1-star reviews because they fought dirty. That was biological warfare on their part. They fought dirty. They came in to give us 1-star reviews because we were trashing the Lakers, and all these little Laker fans, it's like Laker fan forever 24 heart are commenting, these guys suck. I hate them.
And we went viral because G called the Lakers fan a proud boy.
Yeah, I've already apologized publicly for that.
What happened with that?
Okay, so what?
Tell the story.
So what happened? What happened with that? Was we, so Tim at Tim NBA, who, by the way, I want to say is a great guy. Okay, this is all in the past. We were kind of beefing with him because he was saying, which turned out to be correct, that Tyler Hero sucks against drop coverage and that the Lakers were going to smoke the Heat and that KCP was better than all these people and that, you know, the Lakers drop and they're going to obliterate all what the Heat do or whatever, blah, blah, blah. So we were kind of beefing with him. And then Alex Solana looked at his profile picture and is like, he looks like a proud boy. And I was like, and the podcast is called Lakers Exceptionalism. So we were making fun of the name and we were doing Hilarious. That. Yeah. I thought, you know, whatever. And then Brian said, yeah, Brian did not know what a Proud Boy was. Our producer and co-founder, Brian Weiss. And then he called Nikias a Proud Boy.
He said Nikias is our Proud Boy.
Yeah.
Which is wrong on so many levels.
Brian did not know what a Proud Boy
very,
was.
Very, very many levels.
He did not know. He thought it was someone that was proud of their work. I swear to God. And it was uncomfortable. We laughed so hard. Brian turned every shade. He was as red as the Heat Christmas Day jerseys. It was hysterical.
No, and then G tweeted him from the team account, from the Miami Heat Beat account, that he should drink bleach.
I did. The Laker fan. The Laker podcast. Which, by the way, Siobhan, back in the era of the big three, I mean, that would have been just a Tuesday, right? Like that. Yeah. We used to say that to each other. So I didn't know the rules changed. We haven't been good in a while. So that happened. And then Laker Twitter found me. They found the podcast. They were clipping me out of context and clipping me in context, making fun of me, making fun of the show, calling me racist to white people, which I don't even know how that works, but whatever. And they were saying all sorts of things. They were leaving bad reviews on our Apple. They were coming to our stream and talking shit.
Damn.
There was a Reddit post.
And Laker fans were like, my mentions were on fire for like 2 weeks. I was the only one on Heat Twitter trying to beef with Laker fans. I was holding it down for y'all. So eventually I reached out to Tim and I was like, Tim, this got out of hand. I got in the moment. I don't mean that. I'm really sorry. Like I should be careful. That's a dangerous thing to call people in our political climate. And he's like, make fun of my pasty ass all you want. You know, just that really hurt. Cause you know, because Tim runs a website in which he curates and creates stats in terms of tracking data and all that stuff. And Tim's like, you know, we donate a portion of our proceeds to like black causes or black businesses or something.
Oh, damn.
And I'm just like, this is the nicest guy. And then he, and then he's like, you know, if you ever need a, if you ever need any of our metrics, you know, let me know. I'll be glad to help you. Thanks for reaching out and apologizing. Great, you know, job, it's all good. Gene. Oh my God. Siobhan, I wanted to die. I was like, this man, he's such a better person than I am. So that's how Brian. That's how Brian and I got in trouble because of Alex Solana's comment on the podcast.
He keeps putting Brian into it when Brian Brian didn't go viral.
We win and lose as a team, Frankie. We win and lose as a team.
No, this is like Mo saying, "Yeah, me and Bam had a bad game."
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.